We now bring to this microphone David James. It's that time of the week on the broadcast when we have a conversation with David. He and I get together to talk about an issue that is confronting the body of Christ, we as Christians. And in order to be able to have our daily walk in a biblical perspective, we need to understand these issues from a biblical context as well. We're going to do that today with David as we have our conversation. By the way, this week, we connect with David. He's up in New England, where he's speaking at yet another God's Plan Through the Ages conference. Talk to us about it, David.
Well, that's right, Jimmy. I'm in New Hampshire, where I'm speaking at a conference at the New Hampshire State Prison for Men in Concord. And it's been organized by my good friend Brian Gower, whom you know as well, who's the pastor of Community Christian Church up there in Center Barnstead, just north of Concord. And he oversees the conference portion of this prison ministry. I think this is the fourth conference I've done in this facility over the last 6 years or so. And it's the sixth time I'm doing God's Plan Through the Ages just this year, with two more to go. It's a bit of a challenge doing this particular course in prison, because I can't take my computer in for security reasons. And as you know, I make extensive use of videos and multimedia in this course, and I had to convert all of my slides to picture format so it doesn't have any videos or sound in it. But either way, you know, this is a unique course, and most of these guys will have never had any exposure to understanding the Bible from this perspective. And also, I would let our listeners know, I'm in the middle of working on editing previous videos of this course when I taught it at Word of Life in New York a couple of years ago, and I'm putting the course into a format that I can distribute for personal use and that could be used in churches for Sunday school or Bible studies. And then, of course, I'll be with you at the Prophecy Conference in Chattanooga the first week of December, and we'll be teaching God's Plan there as well, and I hope to see some of our listeners there, and if not in person, they'll be able to join us via live streaming.
Yeah, that'll be a great opportunity to do exactly what you've just said and see this terrific look at the entire Word of God from Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 22. By the way, go to our website, prophecytoday.com. On the home page, at the top of the page, there's a rotating banner. And if you'll just wait a moment, if it's not there, it'll appear. All the information you need, how to register, the dates, and exactly where it's going to be held here in Chattanooga. It's going to be on the Tennessee River. It's a beautiful, beautiful location. Go and come and sign up. We've already got a group coming. We want you to consider coming, or at least take the courses on streaming. Live streaming will be available to you. I'll be doing, in addition to what Dave is doing, he's doing God's Plan Through the Ages, I'll be doing my third part in prophecy in every book of the Bible. I'm going to take the last 17 chapters of the Old Testament. Those are the major and minor prophets, and then the book of Revelation. So go to the website, prophecytoday.com, to get all the information you need to register, and be sure to come along and join us. Well, David, on last week's program, we did a rerun of a previous discussion that you and I had on this segment of the broadcast, because you were on an international trip. We weren't able, however, to connect with you as we normally do when you're overseas. I know we can't get into certain details because of where you were, but from our phone call a few days ago, it seems that you had a very interesting trip. What can you tell us about it?
Well, last week I was able to travel into a restricted access country to look into some possibilities for future ministry, not only for the Alliance for Biblical Integrity, but also for possible networking with other people I know of in the country with another ministry. And at some point in the future, I might be able to say more about where I was, but for now I'm being careful about how much I say publicly because of possible problems it might cause for believers and those who minister there. But I can say this, I was able to go into this country with a friend who made a contact with a pastor there, and arrangements were made for us to travel there to meet this pastor. And in some initial correspondence, the first thing this pastor wanted to know was what I believe. So I directed him to the ABI website, which has a very detailed doctrinal statement. And I was really fairly shocked when he wrote back to say he agreed with everything, because, you know, it's getting harder to find someone like that in the States, let alone internationally. So when I was there, we met for several hours, and I also spoke in the church that meets in his small home. And again, I was surprised to find out he really does believe what we believe. He holds to a high view of Scripture, meaning he believes it's inspired, inerrant, authoritative, the Word of God. He is pre-trib dispensational. He holds to the eternal security of the believer, and he's not charismatic. Now we're talking about how we might move forward with some kind of training at a conference next year, and with connecting his ministry with another ministry that I've worked with in other countries around the world.
Well, that is a great report. Man, that sounds great, David. I'm so happy for you and the open door, another open opportunity. Keep us posted. We will be praying. David, let's get to this week's topic, if we will. A few days ago, there was an article on the LifeSight News website. It was concerning some atheists who are beginning to be concerned themselves that the decline of Christianity's influence on society may not be a good thing after all.
That's right. The title of the article is "Atheists Sound the Alarm: Decline of Christianity is Seriously Hurting Society." The author of that article wrote the following in his lead paragraph. Only a few years ago, the aggressive, quote-unquote, new atheist movement was on the march, with rhetorical brawlers like Christopher Hitchens and renowned biologists like Richard Dawkins leading the charge against religion and the last vestiges of Christian faith in the West. Now, we don't want to get into the weeds by putting a lot of names out there, but Hitchens and Dawkins have had tremendous influence for atheism and against organized religion, especially biblical Christianity. And this author went on to say, but as Christianity fades further and further into our civilization's rearview mirror, many intelligent atheists are beginning to realize that the Enlightenment may have only achieved success because it wielded influence on Christian culture. In a truly secular society in which men and women live their lives beneath empty heavens and expect to be recycled rather than resurrected, there is no solid moral foundation for good and evil. So in other words, some atheists are realizing that the Enlightenment couldn't have taken place if it weren't for the theological and philosophical underpinnings of Christianity. In an article on the History Channel website, they described the Enlightenment this way: European politics, philosophy, science, and communications were radically reoriented during the course of the Enlightenment, which was mostly in the 18th century. They go on to say, Enlightenment thinkers throughout Europe questioned traditional authority and embraced the notion that humanity could be improved through rational change. So going back to the article, one of the most important points is that atheism has no real foundation for defining morality, that is, what is right or wrong and what is good or evil.
Wow, that's very interesting, coming from the major players in atheism today. Well, I noticed that the author of the article said that one of these concerned atheists believes that our modern concept on human rights could not survive for very long if Christianity did not exist.
Well, that's right. This author, who is also a columnist and radio program host, said this when he, the atheist, joined me on my show recently to discuss his latest book, The Madness of Crowds. He reiterated that he believes that in the absence of the secularist's ability to hammer out ethics on fundamental issues such as the sanctity of life, we may be forced to recognize that returning to faith is the best option available to us. Now, this is very interesting, because Richard Dawkins has said that all of society's ills can be traced back to religious belief. And one of Dawkins' most famous statements against the God of the Bible is this. He said, "The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all of fiction. Jealous and proud of it, a petty, unjust, unforgiving, control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty, ethnic cleanser, a misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, megalomaniacal, sadomasochistic, capriciously malevolent bully." I mean, it's even hard to put all that together. You know, for a long time, atheists were happy to simply deny the existence of God and fairly content to debate it with Christians in a fairly calm way. But in the past few decades, they've become more and more militant.
Yeah, and I wish that guy would say actually what he really means. Let us know what his thinking is. Well, let's continue to think about the matter of the philosophical foundation for morality. What do you say to an atheist who argues that it is possible for individuals and society to have moral standards and just laws apart from the existence of God?
Well, the first thing I would do, I would point them to William Lane Craig, who's one of the top Christian apologists and philosophers of our generation. On his website, he writes in one of his articles, if God does not exist, then morality is just a human convention. That is to say, morality is wholly subjective and non-binding. Then he goes on to say this, if atheism is true, objective moral values do not exist. If God does not exist, then what is the foundation for moral values? If God does not exist, then it is difficult to see any reason to think that human beings are special or that their morality is objectively true. Jimmy, several years ago, I ended up in a discussion on an internet chat room with someone who claimed to be an atheist about this issue, and he was arguing that there can be morality apart from God. So I asked him about the problem about when you have philosophical differences concerning what's right or wrong. And I asked, what happens when one person thinks murder is wrong and the other doesn't? Who gets to decide? And the only answer he could give me was whatever the majority decided. So then I asked him if he thought murder was wrong, and he said it was. And then I replied, well, what if someone disagrees and wants to kill you? And all he could say was that society has passed laws against murder. And my response was, well, then it might be a stupid decision because you'll end up in jail or maybe executed, but you can't say it's morally wrong. And what if the majority changes its mind? You know, Psalm 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And at least some atheists are now beginning to figure this out.
Yeah, the fool makes that statement. David, a few days ago when we were discussing today's program, you were telling me that this whole issue really has sort of a deep connection with the start of the Word of Life ministry there in Hungary. Tell me about it.
Well, as most of our older listeners will remember, the Berlin Wall fell 30 years ago this month, and it led to the collapse of the Soviet Union. Go back 5 years prior to that, in 1984, the overseas director for Word of Life was on a flight back from Hungary to the United States. He ended up seated next to a wealthy Hungarian Jewish businessman who had connections at the highest level of the communist government. And they ended up in a conversation about the ministry of Word of Life and how Word of Life ministers to young people to give them hope and change in their lives. And he was deeply interested in this as a survivor of the Jewish Holocaust in Hungary. And he told Paul Buber that communism had failed and that they were losing a whole generation to sex and drugs and deviant lifestyles. So this is exactly what some of these atheists are now saying publicly. And as missionaries to Eastern Europe, we saw this firsthand in those early years. And just as an interesting point, just 2 weeks before the Berlin Wall fell, my wife and I had made decisions to go behind what we thought was going to be the Iron Curtain there in the fall of 1989.
Wow. Well, the Lord opened up a great door for you. I've always said to somebody who claims to be an atheist, I said, well, that must mean that you're anti-God. They say, yes. I say, well, if there is no God, how can you be anti-God? Interesting way right. to get a conversation going. David, thank you for the research on this, and great report about that country you went into. We're hoping that that'll be an open door for you as well. We'll be praying for you there that you do get out of prison today once you finished up the conference up there. We'll have another conversation next week, buddy.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate it so much.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to open the Bible. We'll take a look at the book, consider all the reports from our broadcast partners, and how that fits into the prophetic scenario found in God's Word. That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.